Well, good evening, church. It's great to be able to spend some time with you in the Word of God tonight. Got an exciting study for you this evening. Please pray for Pastor. He is traveling this week. He will be back for Sunday, though, and he'll be ready to go Sunday morning. But tonight, we get to spend some time together. I want to encourage you to get your Bible, whether it's a digital or written copy, maybe a pen and paper or a place to take notes on your phone or tablet. And let's get into the Word of God. But before we do so, let's go ahead and pray. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for how you have just blessed us. Thank you for your love and your care and your kindness. God, you have been so good to us. Father, I pray that you would meet with us tonight as we gather around your word. I pray that you continue to watch and protect care for us as we live in this day and age. Help us, Father, that we'll be attentive to the Holy Spirit teaching our hearts and minds this evening as we open your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, listen, it's great to be able to take some time tonight and open the Word of God. And I have something really neat that I love to talk about. Tonight, we're going to do a study and we're going to run through the nine covenants of Scripture. I have this 1 week to be able to teach on Wednesday evening and wanted to try to provide you with something for perspective for the whole Scripture context and wanted to take an opportunity to do this for you. So tonight, we're going to look at the covenants of Scripture. Encourage you to maybe get a pen and paper, write these down. So the first covenant we look at in Scripture is the Edenic covenant. When you think about the Edenic covenant, I want you to think about Genesis chapter 2 and verses 16 and 17. The Bible says this there, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden that thou mayest freely eat, but out of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in that day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." Now, in the Scriptures, understand 7 days of creation, everything is done in the creation mode, and God says everything was very good. He puts man in the Garden of Eden. He puts him there to keep it and address it, as the Bible says. And in the process of doing that, God tells Adam, listen, don't touch this tree right here. The Edenic covenant is one that God made with mankind, that if you touch this tree right here, you will surely die. It is a guarantee. It is a promise. This covenant is a conditional covenant. If Adam doesn't touch the tree, he lives. Pretty cool, huh? But we know how that story proceeded. Adam and Eve made a choice to eat of the tree. Because they ate of the tree, it brings us to the second covenant, which is the Adamic covenant. When you look at Scripture and we study the Adamic covenant, let's look at Genesis chapter 3. If you look at Genesis chapter 3, just a page over in your Bible, and you look at verses 14 through 19, you're going to see the Adamic covenant displayed or declared. Now, in this covenant, we see that the serpent is cursed because of the sin that's entered the world. The woman faces judgment and cursing. The man faces judgment. The ground faces judgment. So God makes a covenant with man called the Adamic covenant. And this covenant is based on the fact that mankind has fallen. And now he's separated from God. There is no longer that fellowship there because sin has broken that fellowship. And that sin, as the Bible teaches us, is passed on from generation to generation through the seed of man. As we look in Scripture, we see here that the Adamic covenant declares in verse 15 of chapter 3, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." This is the first place in Scripture we see the promise of a coming Messiah. Now, tonight is not going to be a study on Genesis 3:15 to dig into all the significance of it scripturally. This is just an overview study of the covenants to introduce you to what they are. This is the first mention of redemption in Scripture and how it's going to be provided. And I encourage you, if you've never studied it before, do some research on Genesis 3:15 and the significance it has to the Messiah that we see come in the New Testament. You know, as we study Scripture, we see here that the curse is passed on and there's a promise seed given in the Adamic covenant. The third covenant we're going to look at tonight is the Noahic covenant. Now, the Noahic covenant was the covenant given to Noah. So when we look at the story of mankind and we see that Adam and Eve were put in the garden, they were told in the Edenic covenant not to eat of the fruit. They did it anyway. They failed. Mankind failed. First covenant. The second covenant comes and we see here it's the Adamic covenant. Now this Adamic covenant is one that this curse of sin is passed to all men. We see here that the promise of a redemptive seed is given to all men. But now we see as mankind lives on the earth, it doesn't take very long, but we see the story of Cain and Abel, Adam and Eve's sons. And it didn't take very long for even murder to take place between these two boys. Folks, can you imagine if it only took the children of Adam and Eve for murder to happen? Can you imagine the years that spanned between Adam and Eve and Noah and the sin that was rampant on the earth? The Bible says that the sin that was rampant was so bad that God had determined he was going to need to destroy all the inhabitants of the earth except for eight people. Those eight people were Noah, Mrs. Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and their three wives. So we have eight people that God rescues or salvages from the destruction of the planet, the human beings on the planet. And in the process of this, he goes to Noah and says, Noah, I want you to build an ark. So Noah, by faith, he builds this ark. He puts his family on the ark. It starts to rain. The Bible says that the floods come up from the ground of the deep. Some people believe that there is a water canopy around the world that protected the earth from UV rays and so forth from the sun. And that canopy had collapsed in the process and the earth was covered globally with water. Not a local, it didn't flood just in a little area. It was a global flood that covered the whole planet. You read the account in scripture, you'll find out that the Bible says that the water covered even the highest mountain that existed. As we look in scripture and we see this Noahic covenant, the water begins to recede and there's a rainbow put into the sky. Never been seen before. And in the Bible, Noah and God have this conversation. If you look over in Genesis chapter 9, turn over in your Bibles there to Genesis chapter 9. Very interesting study. We see here that God tells Noah, verses 11 through 13, Genesis 9, 11 through 13, the Bible says, "And I will establish my covenant with you, neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the water of the flood, neither shall there any more be the flood to destroy the earth." And God said, "This is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it will be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth." He makes a covenant with Noah and with mankind. We call it the Noahic covenant. And when you look outside and you see a rainbow in the sky, it is a symbol how God destroyed the earth because man was so wicked, but he's promised he won't destroy it with water again in the future. Now, we, as students of the Bible, you'll find out that as you read scripture, that the earth is not going to be destroyed by water. The Bible says the earth is going to be burned up with fire in the end. But God has made a commitment to mankind and the earth's inhabitants, and he makes it to Noah here, and that's why we call it the Noahic covenant, that he will not destroy the earth with water ever again, the whole earth, to cover it globally. As we see here, we go to the next covenant, number four, which is the Abrahamic covenant. Now, the Abrahamic covenant is a bit interesting. If you look over at Genesis chapter 12, go to Genesis chapter 12, and you look at verses 1 through 3, we see here that God tells Abraham to come out from his family and from among them. He has a place for him to go. We can read it here. "Now the Lord God said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto the land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." The first thing I want to look at regarding the Abrahamic covenant is this is pretty much it in a nutshell, but we're going to get in a few more verses here. All the families of the earth will be blessed. Listen, this is fulfilled through the cross of Calvary and the Messiah coming, because Messiah comes through the bloodline of Abraham. Abraham, through the Messiah, will be a blessing to everybody that lives on the earth, has ever lived on the earth, because the Messiah is the redemptive fashion at which God has reconciled mankind to Him. The Messiah's sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. As we look here in this passage of Scripture, we see that He promises of Him several things in verses 1 through 3. Let's look over in the Scriptures at Genesis 15, just a few pages over, Genesis 15, and let's look at verses 4 and 5. And we see here, "And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir," speaking of Ishmael, "but that shall come from thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward the heaven and tell the stars." He says, "Count the stars, if thou be able to number them." And he said unto him, "So shall thy seed be." And he, believing in the Lord, and he continued and counted it to him for righteousness. So when God made this promise to Abraham in verses 1 through 3 of chapter 12, we get over here to chapter 15 and we see here that this is a part of the fulfillment of the covenant that God made with Abraham. And Isaac is going to be that covenant child. Abraham, as we read the study and we know the story of the Scripture, if you've been a student of the Word of God, you know that he went into his maid that Sarah had given him, and his maid bore a child, Hagar bore a child named Ishmael. But Ishmael was not the promised child that God was going to give Abraham. The promised child was going to come through Sarah. And God directs Abraham to look at the stars. If you can count all the stars in the sky, you'd be able to number the descendants that will come out of this promised child. This is another part of the Abrahamic covenant. And then let's look at chapter 17 of Genesis, chapter 17, and let's look at verse 10. Verse 10 says, "This is my covenant which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised." Listen, as part of a symbol, a sign of people that believed in the covenant of God from Abraham, the sign was that the male children would be circumcised. Listen, folks, circumcision is an outward sign of an inward decision. This is an act of faith, something that no one can see but you, but you're symbolizing it through an act. And we're going to talk about this a little bit more in the study tonight. But this is the Abrahamic covenant. This was brought out, and you can get into studying it more in depth. I'm just trying to cover these covenants in a short period of time this evening and encourage you to study them out if you would choose to. The next covenant we're going to look at is the Mosaic covenant. The Mosaic covenant. This was the covenant given to Moses. This was given in Exodus 20, and we refer to it as the Ten Commandments. Now, if you look over in Exodus chapter 20, the Bible says, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Honor thy father and thy mother. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet." When we look at these commandments that God had given, this was the Mosaic covenant that was provided to Moses for the people of Israel to govern them. Now, I want you to consider this. This was a covenant that God said, as we look into the New Testament and we study, was given to be the measuring stick to see how we fall short of God and what His expectation is. If you look in the passage of Scripture here in Exodus 20, you will see what God's expectation is for mankind. Now, if you continue to read Exodus 20 and on, you'll see that there were other rules and laws given for the Jewish nation to live by. But right here, the law is the ruler, the measuring stick by which we see that we fall short of being able to have salvation because we have sin. As we look in Scripture, we see in this Mosaic covenant that the only person that was able to fulfill this law in full, in entirety, was Jesus Christ, the Messiah. He was sinless when he went to the cross of Calvary. And the Bible says that the only way he was able to die is because he became sin for us. He knew no sin, but he took our sin on himself. He paid for our sin on the cross. As we look here, we see the next covenant that we're going to look at this evening is the land covenant. Now, some people refer to the land covenant as the Palestinian covenant. I prefer the land covenant because it identifies it with Israel. Now, they were, if you look in Scriptures, Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 1 through 20, you will see there that God gives a clear definition. Listen, this is a Deuteronomy chapter 30 is the land deed for Israel's possession and ownership of the land that God promised them. Now, today, Israel does not occupy the full swath of land that God had promised them. But one day they will. The Bible teaches us, if you continue to read and study out this particular covenant, but it will be fulfilled in the thousand-year reign of Christ. The borders of Israel will resemble the Deuteronomy chapter 30 guidelines for the deed that was given to the nation of Israel. As we see this land covenant, we move on to the next one, and that is the Davidic covenant. If you look in 2 Samuel, let's turn over to 2 Samuel. So take your Bible, turn over to 2 Samuel, and we're going to look at chapter 7, 2 Samuel 7, and look at verse 16. The Bible says here, "And thine house," speaking about David, "and thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever." In 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 16, we see that God makes a promise to David that his throne will be eternal. Now listen, I know that right now David's kindred, his offspring, they're not on the throne right now. But the day is coming when Christ will return and he's going to step foot down at the Mount of Olives, and the earth is going to split and divide, and he's going to go into Jerusalem, and he is going to sit on that throne, and he is going to rule the earth from that throne, and his kingdom, Jesus' kingdom on that throne, will be there. And Jesus is an offspring of David. Here in 2 Samuel chapter 7, we see that God promises David an eternal throne. We refer to this as the Davidic covenant. This is not conditional. This is a promise of God. It's going to happen. We look here and we see the next covenant. We have two more. The new covenant. Now, the new covenant has two facets to it. It's the blessings of the church, and it's also the promises to Israel in the millennial kingdom. So when you look at the new covenant, you would need to research this, and it is not conditional. For the church, it is wrapped up in baptism and the Lord's Supper, and for Jerusalem, or for Israel, it is wrapped up in that millennial blessing that is going to be given to Israel. So if you look at Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 through 33, you can look at Matthew chapter 26, verse 28, Mark 14, 24, Luke 22:20, and Hebrews 8, verses 8 through 12. Each of these passages of Scripture will give you more definition and more information regarding the new covenant that has been given to Israel and has been given to the church and how it functions in, as we live today. Now, as you look in Hebrews, and take a moment and look at Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews chapter 8. In Hebrews chapter 8, we see here the Bible says in verses 8 through 12, he says, "For finding fault with them, he saith, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers," speaking of the Ten Commandments, "in that day when I took them out of the land and led them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. So when we look at this, verse 13, in that he saith, a new covenant he hath made, the first old, now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. Listen, when the millennial kingdom happens and the Jews reside on this earth, the laws of God are going to be written on their heart. But at that point, Jesus Christ is going to sit on the throne and everybody is going to know who he is. He is going to rule and reign with a rod of iron for 1,000 years. This new covenant is set up for us to understand and see that that happens. And the last covenant we're going to look at tonight is the eternal covenant, which is salvation. In Hebrews chapter 13, just turn over a few passages of scripture there in your Bibles. Hebrews chapter 13, the Bible gives us a description, information on this new covenant. The Bible says, Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead out our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Listen, we can stop right there. This eternal covenant is a covenant that was in existence at the foundations of the world. It was the eternal covenant that God knew he was going to redeem mankind on the cross of Calvary. And in God's perspective, it was finished before the earth was ever even created. It was done. As we see here, it says that this is an everlasting covenant. It will never end. Verse 21, to make you perfect in every good work, to do his will, God's will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in God's sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Listen, the eternal covenant is a covenant that is for those who've trusted Christ as their Savior. Listen, it is for those, listen, even those who've rejected Jesus Christ, the blood on the cross has covered your sin. It's eternally done. The question is, have you reconciled with God? You say, Bill, what is you? Have I reconciled? What do you mean? Have you come to the place in your life where you recognize Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Savior, took your sins and my sins, the world's sins, on him on the cross of Calvary? He paid for them through his death, through his burial and his resurrection. And today, we can have a relationship. We can be reconciled to the Father, have a relationship with God because of what Christ did. See, we talked about the Edenic covenant. God made a covenant with Adam and Eve and said, if you eat of this tree, surely you're going to die. The Adamic covenant said, hey, there's a curse that's taking place here, and there's a seed, there's a Messiah that's going to come. The eternal covenant is that Messiah. Now, if you're listening and watching me tonight, listen, the deeds that you do, the good that you do, the righteousness that you think you're doing, giving money to the church, helping people, attending church, just anything that you do that you think is good, if you do that with the purpose of thinking that by doing this good, you're earning favor with God and you'll be allowed to enter into eternity and fellowship with God the Father, you are gravely mistaken. The Bible teaches us that our sin is as filthy rags. Listen, these covenants, the Edenic, the Adamic, when you get into the eternal covenant, new covenant, listen, they're conditional. Some of these covenants are conditional, and in their conditional states, there are repercussions. Listen, the Adamic covenant repercussion is there's a curse. It's sin. And it's death. But the Bible tells us the story of Jesus Christ and his love for us. For God so loved the world, John 3:16 says, that he gave his only begotten Son, that's Jesus, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. You won't have that eternal separation from God, that death eternally, that you would spend eternity in hell separated from God. You won't have that because God gave his Son, his only begotten. You should not perish. The Bible says you'll have everlasting life, a relationship with the Father reconciled to him for eternity. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. Romans teaches us the payment, the wage. The payment of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Romans goes on to say, as Paul teaches, that if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our hearts that God raised Jesus from the dead, that he is the Messiah, we can be saved. If you're watching this video tonight and you've never come to faith in Jesus Christ, you've never come to the place to realize that you can't earn a relationship with God. You can't earn reconciliation with God. There is no way. Listen, you say, well, I can do all this. No, listen, you cannot earn your own salvation. It's impossible. The Bible teaches it clearly. The only person that can provide salvation for you and for me is Jesus Christ, because he took our sin on him on the cross. He died. He was put in a tomb for 3 days and he rose again. And today, we can have reconciliation with God because Jesus Christ paid for our sin. Maybe you're watching this video tonight and you have never trusted Christ. I want to encourage you, just have a conversation with God. Tell him that you want to trust what Jesus did on the cross, and you believe that Jesus is the Messiah, and that he paid for your sin on the cross, and you're sorry for your sin, and that you want Jesus to cleanse you, and you want to have a relationship and be restored to God in a relationship with him, and ask God to come into your life and commit your life to him, to live for him from here on out. If you've never done that, I challenge you tonight to take a moment and talk to God about it and speak with him about what I'm... You say, Bill, I don't know that I understand everything. Listen, if you don't understand, please call our church, oakleafbaptist.org. Go to our website, get a phone number, fill out the comment card on there. You do anything you can to reach out to us and speak with myself or pastor. Or we'll be glad to help you to answer your questions so that you can come to faith in Jesus Christ. But I will tell you, you look at every one of these covenants in Scripture and they have come true. You look from the historical standpoint, you look from a biblical standpoint, every one of them has been true. There's going to come a day when Jesus is going to return. He's going to set up his throne. But do you know that when he sets his return and he calls the church out of this world, and he sets up his throne, it's going to be too late at that time for you to accept him. If you're going to accept Jesus Christ, you need to do it today. Today is the day of salvation. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for this day. I pray for anybody that might be watching this video. I pray they understand that when God makes a covenant, he's going to keep it. And Father, I pray that every one of us understands that as he keeps his covenant, there is an eternal destiny for every one of us. We're going to spend an eternity in heaven or an eternity in hell. And I pray that if there's someone watching tonight that has never put their faith in Jesus Christ fully, Father, I pray that tonight would be the night that they accept Christ. I pray that those believers who are watching this video would be challenged to study the Scriptures and to see these covenants of God and what he's promised and how he fulfills them. Father, I pray that you would meet with us and be with us. I pray that you would just watch over us, guide and direct us. Thank you for your love for us. And as we go out of this study tonight, I pray that you would help us to go in peace. I pray that you'll help us to be as wise as serpents, but as harmless as doves. And you'll give us boldness to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with those that we encounter. And we pray all this in Jesus' precious name. And all God's people said, amen. Thanks for joining us tonight. I hope you have a great evening.